Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a special post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. Well, it was ugly, but the Rockets got it done. They're now 2-1 after a 93-92 win over Dallas, in which they scored just 30 points in the second half. As I said on Twitter, if you want a positive, Rockets are now 2-0 against Dallas, so at least it can't be as bad as the Astros-Rangers was this season. At a bare minimum, they're going to be 500 against Dallas, and hopefully a good deal better than that. If you want the optimistic spin on Sunday night's game, they won their home opener, and they won it with defense. They held the Mavs to 39 points in the second half, and while the Mavs did not have Dirk Nowitzki, it's certainly not a talentless team. Harrison Barnes, who scored 31 points on Friday, had just 10 on Sunday night. Wesley Matthews looked like, well, the Wesley Matthews he was before the Achilles injury, and we knew that was a possibility because typically for guys with Achilles injuries, it takes until their second year after the Achilles surgery, and that's what this is for Wes Matthews. He had 25 points in 40 minutes, along with pretty strong defense on James Harden. J.J. Barea, always a Rockets killer, had 18 points and 5 assists in 31 minutes off the bench. But the bigger factor, like I said, Wes Matthews' defense. He was able to hold Harden in the second half, 8 of 23 shooting for the game, made it an absolute grind for James. Thankfully, James was good enough. Tie game with 4 seconds left after a Wes Matthews three had tied it. James went straight to the rim. Very well drawn up play by Mike D'Antoni in which they got the ball to Nene. And Nene was able to get the ball to Harden on the move, got into the lane. Harden got fouled and made one of two free throws with 0.1 seconds left to decide the game. But Wes Matthews gave Harden a lot of problems, and we've seen it before. That's what he did in the 2014 playoffs when he was with the Blazers. So it's not unprecedented. Wes Matthews is a really good player and a really good defender in this league if he's healthy, and now in his second year after Achilles surgery, if he's going to bounce back, this is the time when it's going to happen. Now, over time, I think you want to have enough secondary options to James Harden that they're not going to be as dependent on James being able to just miraculously make one-on-one plays. But right now, they're in the first week of installing a new system with Mike D'Antoni, and as much as they want to harp on their offensive efficiency in the preseason, that was the preseason. You didn't have defenses that were fully committed to stopping you. And in this case, there's a particular twist because playing Dallas 2 games in a row, Rick Carlisle, one of the better X's and O's coaches in the game, he was able to devise schemes specifically for the Rockets. And after seeing the Rockets for basically 72 minutes, 48 on Friday and the first 24 on Sunday, he made some changes to how they defended. And the Rockets just don't have enough confidence in their system right now to, you know, truly have secondary options after Harden. So it devolved into a lot of isolation play with James down the stretch. Now, part of it, you know, yes, you'd like to see more ball movement. But another thing, it always comes down to the shooting. Rockets started off this game shooting 7 of 10 from 3. That's when they scored 34 points in the first quarter and added another 29 in the second. Into the game, after starting 7 of 10, they finished, what, 4 of their next 21? Because, yeah, final tally was 11 of 31. So they were below 20% from 3 for basically the final almost three quarters of the game. And as we learned after that Lakers game, if the Rockets don't shoot threes, this is not a team that's going to have that much success offensively because they're built around shooting threes. And if they have a cold night, well, it is what it is. And we knew that going into this year. That's one of the big deficiencies for the Rockets is that if the threes aren't falling, they don't really have a way to get easier buckets. And really, this was a game, it shows you Clint Capella's limitations. He started off 0 of 4 from the line, and I think that played into a little bit of timidness on his part offensively to go at the basket that hard for fear of getting fouled. He ended up finishing with just 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting, did have 10 rebounds in his 26 minutes, but generally, Andrew Bogut outplayed him. Now, I'm not putting too much criticism on Clint, because I think in the preseason game and the first game on Friday, Clint got the better of Bogut. Tonight, I would give Andrew the advantage. Had 14 rebounds in his 28 minutes, had 6 points, a plus 12 differential, whereas Clint Capella was a minus 8. So this was a game Andrew Bogut, long established, is one of the better defensive bigs in the game. You know, he really showed some of the weaknesses of Clint Capella. And I think after playing Clint for 2 games over the past week, he kind of knew what to focus on. But to get back to the threes, where this fits in is that, you know, for the Rockets to be a truly elite team, we know what they need. We know they need a second star-level player besides James Harden, preferably someone that can create his own offense on the low block. Clint Capella is a good center. He can certainly rebound. He's got range. He can play the pick-and-roll game. But he is not someone you can dump the ball to on the low block and expect big-time offense. And you can put Nene in the game. And Nene did have a decent game on paper, 11 points, 5 of 6 shooting, plus 10 in his 21 minutes. But most of those points for Nene came extremely early on in the first quarter when he was 4 of 4, 9 points, and I believe just his first 4 or 5 minutes off the bench. He was not really a threat down the stretch. Now, he did make some heads-up plays, including the final play of the game with 4 seconds left when he got it to Harden on the move. But really, Nene is not someone you can expect to create his own offense at 34 years old with regularity against good post defenders. He's certainly crafty enough to do it off the bench and in spurts here and there, and he can certainly still give you a lot with his overall IQ, as evidenced by that final play that he got to James Harden with a head of steam. But the Rockets don't have that post-up option, and so because of that, it's a deficiency in the roster. They're going to get better. You want to have more ball movement, but there are limitations. If you're not making threes, and especially if it's early in the year, you're going to have stretches like this. And it's not excusable. They have a lot to work on, but they are 2-1. They were able to win a game that I can say quite confidently they would not have won last year. I can't imagine them holding any team to 39 points in the second half last year and grinding their way out. And really, if you want to, if you want a positive, I'll quote Adam Spillane of Sports Radio 610, who said after the game, "For all of the Harden is getting tired talk, his minutes are down and his offensive role is basically the same. The difference is that he's trying to play defense." So if you want a positive to hold on to, that's it. If it seems like they get tired in the second half, and they did against the Lakers in game one, and it seemed they did in this one, they're trying. They're out there. They're not just trying to run and gun. Another good example is Ryan Anderson. He had 14 points tonight, 12 rebounds, and he didn't make a three. It seemed like the first 2 games, Ryan Anderson was camped out behind that three-point line and trying to make the sexy plays, trying to get hot the way he did in the preseason for one of those 10 points in 3 minute stretches. And it never happened. So tonight, rather in the first 2 games, I felt like Ryan grinded. He did what he used to do back in his early days in the NBA, which is he used his body to create good angles around the basket, get tip-ins. He got a lot of rebounds. He knew the Mavs were a little undersized, especially with Dirk out. And he was able to have a game that, quite frankly, we didn't think he might could have after the first couple of games and how weak he looked on the glass. And so I think that's what goes to show you. Anderson on the glass, Harden defensively, even though this is not their forte over the last couple of years, they're trying. And so that's a great place to start, that the effort level is high. Now, there's a long way to go. Mike D'Antoni acknowledged after the game the defense is well ahead of the offense at this stage, and they've got to figure out ways to, you know, keep the ball moving, not get stagnant, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? I think it can show you that the culture has indeed changed. It's not pretty, and certainly they're going to head out on the road for a 5-game road trip starting Tuesday night in Cleveland. So, yes, it could get rocky. I think we knew going into this year that with seven of the first eight games on the road, it was certainly not going to be an easy start to the year, and it was very easy to see them below 500 after 8 games. For them to be 2-1 at this stage, you take it, and you just trust that Mike D'Antoni is going to be able coach offense over time. Because really, that's the optimistic side of this. If you can trust Mike D'Antoni to do anything, it's coach offense. To see their defensive effort where it is now, that's a really good sign, because that's what you worry about. Are they going to be able to defend? And if there's been a weakness so far, the Lakers game, you know, they scored 71 points in the first half. My worry, as I said afterward, they scored 43 in the second half. This game against Dallas, they scored 63 in the first half. Again, it looked like they ran out of gas, scored 30 in the second half, and just 13 in the fourth quarter. So unless you think that Mike D'Antoni has forgotten how to coach offense, which seems a little ridiculous, I would rather this be the problem, because in theory, it's a lot more fixable. There are certainly a lot of good offensive players on this team. We've talked about James Harden. Eric Gordon didn't have his best game tonight, 5 of 15, but he's certainly looked very good to start this year. Trevor Ariza, he didn't shoot it a lot, but he was 2 of 4 again from 3, so that's two good shooting games in a row. That's a good sign for him. Sam Decker off the bench, 3 of 5, including 3 of 3 from 3. So you did have some good signs in a vacuum of pieces that Mike D'Antoni can work with, and certainly he knows what he's doing offensively. They're just not there yet. But if you could choose a weakness, I think you would much rather the Rockets be 2-1 and having problems on offense than being 2-1 and having all these problems on defense. Because really, we know that offensively, they are going to come around. It's going to take some time. It's a new system. As I said going into this year, it is a big change. A lot of people tried to say when D'Antoni was hired that, well, it's just more of the same. They don't care about defense. No, that's not really true at all. Before Kevin McHale, J.B. Bickerstaff, these are classic players' coaches. There was not so much a system in place as it was just a free-flow style in which they played to the preferences of their stars. And certainly part of it was wasting possessions on Dwight Howard's obligatory post touches. But they did not have the type of X's and O's system that Mike D'Antoni wants to run. So there is a new scheme to implement, and while they did certainly work on it in training camp in the preseason, the defenses are very different now, especially if you're playing a great defensive coach like Rick Carlisle in a back-to-back setting. So I understand why they're struggling offensively. Now, if you want to poke holes in the defensive effort, yes, they've had two strong games of defense in a row. They were able to close out this game defensively. Well, Dallas without Dirk Nowitzki, even with Wes Matthews having a pretty strong game, this is certainly not as good of an offensive team as most in the NBA, especially Cleveland, who they're going to play on Tuesday night. But I'll close out this game recap again. 93-92 win for the Rockets Sunday night. They're now 2-1. I'll close it out by saying this. I don't care who you put up against the Rockets last year. If they could only score 30 points in the second half, if the shots weren't falling, I don't trust them to hold their opponent below 40 points. I don't care who it is in the second half a year ago. So I think that alone, you can feel better that the culture is in a better place than it was just a few months ago before Mike D'Antoni was hired. As far as the offense, the X's and O's, and the kind of dynamic offensive team we expected after the preseason, I don't know about that, but I do think it will come with time. I just don't know how quickly it's going to come with these next five on the road. Certainly that presents a new layer of challenge to it. Now, this game against the Mavs was not the only Rockets-related news of the day. With Monday being October 31st, that's the deadline. Everyone in the NBA knows the end of October is the big deadline for contract extensions for guys on their rookie year. Are you going to, not extensions, but are you going to pick up the third-year option or the fourth-year option? And that tends to spur a lot of action around the NBA. If you guys remember, it was when Harden was approaching his fourth year in Oklahoma City, and that was the extension deadline. That was just over 4 years ago when he didn't agree to the terms that Oklahoma City had proposed, and that ended up facilitating his trade to the Rockets. Now, the Rockets don't have any money entering, the last year of their contract, but they have Sam Decker entering his third year next year, and Clint Capella entering his fourth. And actually, I should mention, is also Tyler Ennis, just like Sam Decker, entering his third year out of the 2015 draft, excuse me, I should say, because, 2015-2016 doesn't feel like Sam Decker's been in the league 2 years, because He didn't play last year after the back surgery, but certainly that was his rookie year. This is his second year. So I have to make a decision about the contract options for Decker and Ennis on their upcoming third year, Clint Capella on his fourth year. So to break that down, I'm going to be joined in just a second by Calvin Watkins of ESPN.com. Now, to be fair, I talked to Calvin before tonight's game. After the game, he was busy putting together his story, which I knew as he always is. So I talked to him beforehand, but I'm going to go ahead and play that audio for you right now. All right, we've got Calvin with us now. Calvin, October 31st, big day in NBA circles because the third and fourth year options for players' contracts, that's the deadline to extend them. I know you heard from a source today with the Rockets. What are their moves?
Well, they're going to pick up the option for Clint Capella, something that they always wanted to do. They believe he's got a bright future. They also are expected to pick up the option for Sam Decker.
Yep.
There was a little. I talked to someone in the organization. There was a little thought about the Decker option because he's had a back surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, I asked someone, what if you would have had a second back surgery? Would you have picked that up? And they said, I don't know. It would have been a little tricky. But he's a young guy, so there's two no-brainers there in a sense for Decker and Capella.
Yeah. And based on what he's shown so far, preseason and early, I mean, Decker looks pretty healthy.
Yeah, he is healthy. He just needs to get the ball a little bit more.
Yeah.
And play a little bit better. But yeah, no, I think Sam's off to a really good start so far. Yeah.
Other option. Haven't heard anything on Tyler Ennis. Pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet. You know, they made a trade for him, and they almost was on the chopping block there.
Yeah.
But they made a decision to stick with him over the veteran Pablo Prigioni.
Right.
And I thought Tyler played really well in the second Mavericks game. First game of the season against the Lakers, he struggled a little bit.
Yep.
I think he had four turnovers, so he played a lot better. So I think it's going to be a wait-and-see attitude with him before they want to, you know. And plus, checks out, they got Pat Beverly, you know, on his basketball team, too.
I mean, personally, I'd be a little shocked because, you know, there's poor Shams Charania of the Vertical that actually they were going to waive Ennis and, you know, try and get him on a new deal, whatever that meant. But I'd be surprised if they, you know, came close to waiving him and then, you know, gave him a guaranteed extra year a week later. You know, I think wait and see feels a little more realistic for that.
It was kind of weird that day because I was thinking, well, is it this three? I was thinking it was Bobby Brown and the big guy, Wilshire, that might have been in the mix. And then I saw Sham's thing and I asked someone, well, is Tyler involved? And they said, we haven't made a final decision yet. So and then Pablo, you know, ends up getting released. And then someone said, well, based on how he's performed, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Now, he had a little shoulder thing that he hurt his shoulder in China, and then he was dealing with that. And he's probably a little bit slower offensively, Tyler's got probably more upside. Brown's a shooter, even though he's a little older, but he's a shooter. So I can understand why you kept everybody the way you did.
Yeah, my take on it was that I'd be surprised if the Rockets want to raise two roster spots, you know, into the bench on veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Pablo and Bobby Brown, I think only one of them was going to make it because a lot of the time you're talking about guys at the end of the bench, it's almost like lottery tickets, you know. There's no point in keeping somebody that's, you know, in their 30s for that kind of spot. You know, if you're going to gamble, you'll gamble on upside.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, turning back to the court, you mentioned Capella. No worries. You mentioned Capella earlier. It's been a good start to the year for him. What have you seen from him improve this year? Obviously, he's playing more minutes, although they seem to be capping him about 25, 26. Mm-hmm. Seems to be better defensively than a year ago. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, once you play a lot and you're listening to the coaches, and you know, the Rockets have a big man coach in a sense, and Roy Rogers, and he's got Nene, who's also helping him, you'll get better. And I thought Capella looked really good last year, and he was improving. So, yeah, I think his stock is rising. He's looked really good in the first two games. I thought he looked pretty good in the preseason, too.
Mm.
The only problem with him is, and D'Antoni hasn't really mentioned it the last couple of days, is the conditioning factor.
Well, what I'm wondering, I was going to get to that next because, you know, they cap him at 25, 26 minutes game. I know they want to play Nene some too. And to be fair, Nene did play better in game two.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty bad in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Game
two
surprised got
me.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if, you know, it's pretty clear that Mike's trying to manage minutes because he knows the pace they play with and he seems to have more of a, you know, one game out of 82 mindset than Bickerstaff had. You know, JB just wanted to win every game.
Mm-hmm. JB was trying to win the job.
Yeah, exactly.
But D'Antoni's got the job.
Oh, yeah, so he's thinking more big picture.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking, my thought is that for Capella, it's especially tough for a big man to play at that pace. You know, it's one thing to ask your guards who are in that condition to run up and down, but I think especially for somebody that's, you know, a seven-footer, you know, it's especially taxing on him, so I'm thinking that's probably a fair reason to, you know, limit his minutes a little bit.
Yeah, when they played against the Lakers, he got a quick hook because he was tired.
Yep, I noticed that.
Yeah, he got a really quick hook. And then in the second game against the Mavericks in Dallas on Friday night, he played a little bit longer. So I think, you know, I'm talking about in the start of the game. So, yeah, he's developing more of a rhythm, pacing himself. So I think he's fine.
Big turnarounds from game one. Obviously, that was, I don't want to say a disaster, because certainly it looked good in the first half. But okay, you'll be more harsh than that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to lose the Lakers.
No, you're not. But they ran out of gas. Defensively, it seems like that's where the turnaround has been. Well, I don't know. I say defensively because, yes, they played better since then. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, the biggest factor in game one, they just ran out of gas. You know, I said after the game, they scored 71 points in the first half, only 43 in the second. I mean, it seemed like for whatever reason since then, they've done a better job at, I don't know, keeping their tank, you know, not emptying their tank in the first half.
Well, you know, I was there at that first game, and yes, everyone said they ran out of gas, and I'm like, it's the first game of the season, you run out of gas? Come on, give me a break. So, you know, that was the reasonings they gave.
Well,
I thought they muscled up on James in the second half. I thought Anderson didn't hit his shots. He had some open looks.
Yeah.
Ariza didn't get involved, I thought. And give the Lakers credit. They out-hustled them in the second half. Rockets didn't hit a bucket in the fourth quarter. They had 18 points in that fourth quarter. And then he moved to the Mavericks game, the second game. I thought the pace was about the same. Without looking at the numbers, they hit their shots. Yep. Ariza hit his shots. And remember, James was 0-for-4 to start that game, and then James let everyone else get involved, and then they won. And they defended, especially in the half court.
Yep. I guess it's also fair to say that, you know, the Lakers are, you know, they're not a good team, but they probably have more athletes than mm-hmm. Dallas does, so it's a little easier for them to trap James.
I think athletic teams will give this team problems down
the
line.
That, yeah, and I guess you'll see that a lot in this road trip with, you know, Cleveland starting off. I mean, it's, well, I guess it's not the most brutal road trip ever, because you have the Knicks, and the Wizards in there, but mm-hmm. all in all, the Cavs, Hawks, Spurs, mm-hmm. it's going to be a pretty rough week and a half, would you?
Yeah, I think that's why that game Friday was such a must-win, because you don't want to be 0-2 coming to your home opener.
Yeah.
Now, say you win your home opener and you're 2-1 going to Cleveland, that's going to be tough to win. And then you got to go to New York. And
second night of back-to-back.
Yeah, so it's like, man, you don't want to lose both of those games, so you got to figure out, we got to split that, then you're off for a couple of days, you go to Atlanta, and that's Dwight, and then you got to go to Washington, and they got two athletic guards. And then after that, you got to go to San Antonio. So the schedule is kind of tough.
Yep, and I think it's big for them, after the way it's been the last couple of years, just to win a competitive game on the road. You know, certainly Dallas, you know, they're not what they once were, especially without Dirk. But, you know, it's still a feisty team. It's a rivalry. You know, it's something. You know, it's better than, you know, you lose back-to-back to the Lakers and Mavs on the road. That would be pretty bad.
That would be pretty bad. It's like the Mavericks, they might go 0-3 to start the season. And, you know, and expectations for them are not as high as the Rockets, but still, they got some issues.
Yep. That's Calvin Watkins, ESPN. Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, man.
Good insight, as always, from Calvin, I thought. Interesting to hear his commentary on Decker, that they would admit that there was a concern. It's not shocking, because any back surgery is serious. That's when you go back to the Donatus Mani-Unis thing. Heck, if you want to go to J.J. Watt and the Texans, you always say there is no such thing as a minor back surgery. So at one point there actually was a little bit of doubt, is, hey, is his career going to move forward? Are they going to pick up his option for year three? But it looks, to this point, Decker's looked excellent in the preseason, very athletic. In addition to his athleticism, I think it shows you that year off, he used that to work on his jump shot. And so tonight against the Mavs, he was 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and that's a huge lift off the bench, and it really kind of complements KJ McDaniels and Corey Brewer, where if they have a weakness, you question, are they good three-point shooters? And well, if Decker playing the backup power forward spot with Mani-Unis, well, who the hell knows where he is, Decker being a good three-point shooter would certainly go a long way to mitigating the impact of guys playing the 2 and 3 spots who may not be quite the shooters you would expect for those positions. And one reason why Decker has been able to develop that kind of outside shot is because, well, he had to take a year off. He couldn't do many athletic things, so really shooting set shots, working on his form, that was one of the only things he could do a year ago. And you can see the work. Crowd loved it. I heard Bill Worrell loved it, to where he kept calling it triple Deckers. I don't know how I feel about that, but certainly we like seeing Sam have that much success, and I think everybody's looking forward to having Decker and Capella for another year after this one. As far as Tyler Ennis, we'll find out on Monday, but personally, I would be very surprised. I know the Rockets are planning on being very aggressive in free agency next summer and if they were willing to potentially cut Tyler Ennis, as the original report from Shams Charania was on Monday. That was the roster deadline day. I can't imagine them being willing this early to commit over $2 million to him per season. I think they're just more likely to let him play out this year, and, well, if he surprises them, they can deal with that problem at a later date. That'd be a good problem if Tyler Ennis plays well enough that they would like to keep him long-term. Anyway, that note, I'm going to wrap up this happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can always email me or the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions, want to talk to me, or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this rapidly growing show. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Ton of great NBA and NFL podcasts across both leagues. If you haven't checked out Locked On Texans, that's our sister podcast here in Houston, hosted by Robert Land. I encourage you to do that. They've got all sorts of great content. Really a great day all around Houston on Sunday, because not just a Rockets win, Texans won their game at home too over the Lions, 20-13. Nice win. They're now in first place in the AFC South at 5-3. Really on pace for a 10-6 season and an AFC South title. So no matter how you feel about Brock Osweiler, they're in position to accomplish their regular season goals before that you would have hoped for reasonably before the year, and hopefully they just end up playing their best ball in December to give them the best shot once they get towards the playoffs. But if you want to hear more about that, again, tune into Robert's show, Locked On Texans. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to Calvin Watkins of ESPN for joining us for the second half. And I'll be talking with you again throughout this week because we have a lot of games to look forward to. Cavs on Tuesday and then the Knicks on Wednesday. So I'll be talking with you a lot about those games over the next few days. Good night.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.